Hello and welcome to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. If you enjoy our podcasts, please tell your colleagues and subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Enjoy.
Hi there. My name's Damien Rowland. I'm a paediatric emergency medicine consultant. The COVID-19 pandemic has fundamentally changed healthcare. I don't think that's an exaggeration. There are many things that we're doing at the moment that we might not move back from, and the impact of this virus on worldwide healthcare systems and beyond is going to be quite profound. It's causing a great deal of uncertainty and sometimes distress. And I've been pondering, especially over the last couple of weeks, about how we can all help each other understand some of the potential conflicts, some of the pressures, some of the tensions that we're all feeling. And I quite like little acronyms for stuff, and I realised that COVID broke down into communication, organisation, vital signs, investigations and interventions, and dilemmas. Communication being the way we speak to each other and the way that we communicate with patients and carers and families. Organisation being how we deal with the COVID pandemic and all the related challenges that that brings. Vital signs being a cover-all statement for anything to do with the identification of patients with COVID or related physiological matters. Investigations and interventions being how we perhaps make the diagnosis, what we do about it, how we make these patients safe if we're sending them home, or how we manage them in the hospital. And finally, dilemmas for all those things that kind of don't fall into the previous four boxes. And what I thought I might do on a weekly basis is pick out a few of these key domains and discuss things that I've been affected by, or perhaps people I know have been affected by, just in a means of starting a conversation. I don't think there are going to be any answers in this podcast, but it may make people reflect on their practice or challenge themselves to think about something in a different way. Certainly already, communication has been a big issue. Families will be scared. This will manifest itself in either aggression or maybe distrust of healthcare professionals, and we're going to have to work much harder in gaining trust. And especially I, as a paediatrician, know how emotions really do affect the communication dynamic. And you can often be wrong-footed if you presume that a parent's particular behaviour is because of one reason, when in fact it's because of another. And you also need to remember that now we are almost permanently wearing masks and or suits, that actually your smile or some of the non-lexical things that we do to reassure families and carers, etc., will be missing, that they won't be picked up. So we have to work even harder with some of the cues that we give families to reassure them. Another example is in the terminology that we use. I think most departments now are trying to avoid the terms clean and dirty, preferring perhaps kind of red and blue or kind of other different terms that differentiate between suspected cases and non-suspected cases. The organisational response has to be quite dynamic. It has to be individualised for each of the institutions, but there are some common principles which are being adopted amongst nearly all healthcare settings. And these are meaning that teams and systems and professionals are having to work together in ways that they haven't worked before. And this is probably only going to be a good thing in the long run, but it is going to cause a lot of challenge over the next couple of weeks and months, that I have no doubt. In terms of vital signs, well, from a paediatric perspective, clearly children who present with cough or fever are suspected, but what we really don't know is some of the specific features that these children have. There does seem to be some evidence that gastrointestinal symptoms may be present as well, but we haven't got a clear party line on this yet, and that the evidence is particularly mixed. So please do look out for regular updates on this, especially from the Don't Forget the Bubbles literature review, which is being led by Alistair Munro. Investigations and interventions. Well, there are some things that have become quite obvious early on about how we reduce aerosol procedures. But the problem is those, the definition of aerosol generating procedures isn't entirely clear. And there has been some debate, for example, about the use of nebulizers and how much risk they pose to patients and the healthcare professionals treating them. For high flow humidified oxygen, there is actually still a bit of debate about whether that's an aerosol producing intervention. But certainly it is something that we don't just want to start at the drop of a hat. And I think one of the, if there is going to be an advantage of the COVID pandemic, it may be that we look at our practices and really make sure that we're only giving interventions to those patients who definitively need them. And the rationalization process that is going to take place over the next weeks and months in the long term will be better for healthcare, however painful this the current process is. And finally, a bit about dilemmas. Some of the things that I've been really thinking about is the challenge of social media. What's interesting is that you see a lot of teams posted on social media, looking happy, either looking relaxed, coming together. But I suspect a lot of teams at the moment are feeling quite stressed, that there is going to be real challenge in front of us. And it's unlikely that people are going to post pictures of their team looking dejected and worn out. So we get this immediate imbalance where people are looking at what other people are doing and saying, well, why can't we be like that? Why is our team not dancing on the shop floor or kind of singing away to each other? Well, please be mindful of the impact of this bug on everyone. I have no problem with people going out there and really spreading good news and positivity, but just because everyone is doesn't mean that everyone is positive. And I think it's important that we all work with our teams to make sure that we're picking up those who are potentially struggling more than most. And that might include all of us at some stage. We also, I think, have to remember that we are now living in a perpetual state of tension and fear. Whenever I hear a red call go, my heart skips a beat. The adrenaline starts surging. That's not because I'm afraid, but it's because I know what's going to come, and that does heighten my anxiety. And that's a good thing, because over time I've used that to an advantage. It prepares me. I can use it to stimulate myself into preparing the team, and by that time the child does arrive, in arrest or not, we've had a chance to make sure that we're as set up as we possibly can be, and we've certainly not been lackadaisical about it. However, that state of kind of anxiety or initial fear, the adrenaline response, does subside quite quickly. I think at the moment, though, we're all feeling under the pressure all the time. And that tension is just not possible to sustain forever. And I think it's really important as time goes on that we do either remove ourselves from the clinical workplace, do try and have some downtimes, do try and avoid continually looking at emails even when we're not at work, or keeping our eyes fixed on the news all the time. You've only got so much adrenaline to go around before you completely collapse, and it is probably best to save most of it for those really high tension dynamic cases that you see at work. So there's a couple of thoughts so far on the things that I might be discussing over the next couple of weeks. I'd be really keen to hear other ideas if people wanted me to address particular comments or particular concerns or queries that they have. Please do get in touch. But for now, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon. Cheers.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. Remember, you can subscribe to our feed on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you for listening.